Hugo Chavez did it in Venezuela, Rafael Correa did it in Ecuador, and now Evo Morales has done it in Bolivia. What they all have done as part of their process of democratization and social change is form popular assemblies to draft a new constitution for their country and then present it for adoption by a countrywide referendum. In Venezuela, this was completed in 1999, in Ecuador in 2008, and it just happened in Bolivia at the beginning of this month, February 2009. On the phone from La Paz, Bolivia, to discuss the new Bolivian constitution is Ben Dongle. Ben is a journalist reporting on Latin America. He's also author of the book, The Price of Fire, Resource Wars and Social Movements in Bolivia. Hello, Ben.
Hi, thanks for having me on your show.
That's our pleasure. Let's start just with a factual matter. When did the drafting of the new Bolivian constitution begin?
It began in 2006, in August of 2006, when a constituent assembly with assembly members from all around the country convened in Sucre, Bolivia, to rewrite the country's constitution. These assembly members were elected in an election, and were all representatives from various existing political parties in Bolivia. The process has been going on for just over 2 years now, and as you mentioned, the new constitution was finally passed January 25th.
So when you say people were elected, was that in the general election and they came out of the Bolivian legislature, or was it a special election?
Yeah, it was a special election separate from general elections and your typical political party elections. What happened was a law was passed to allow for a special election to take place to elect constituent assembly members to this assembly in July of 2006, and once those members were elected, they convened in Sucre in August of 2006. So they were of political parties, but they're also from a lot of various social organizations, unions, farmers organizations, and many of them, particularly from the MAS, the Movement Towards Socialism, the party of Evo Morales. Many of them were very in touch with their constituents throughout the process of writing the Constitution, regularly returning to their towns and their communities and cities to have meetings with the people that they represented to better represent their constituents in the writing of the Constitution. So in that sense, it was very democratic. And another very democratic aspect of it was that for the first time in Bolivian history, Bolivians were actually asked to vote in a national referendum on whether or not to approve or reject the new constitution.
So over a period of approximately 3 years, this was really a front and center process of engagement by the people of Bolivia in the construction of this new constitution.
Right, and it also represented very sharp political divisions in the country, too. The assembly itself was marred by a lot of violence, protests, both inside and outside the Constitution, the Constitutional Assembly. And the writing of it itself was also kind of mirrored the political culture of Bolivia in all of its contradictions, divisions, and tensions. So it was really a kind of microcosm or symbol of the process of change that Bolivia is going through right now. And there were, just to be clear, there were MAS representatives, but there also, in the writing of the Constitution, were representatives from right-wing political parties, too, and they were kind of instrumental in impeding a lot of the change that the MAS assembly members were pushing for.
Well, let's look at some of the results of that constitutional change. This isn't the first constitution that Bolivia's had, so what is, in fact, new about it?
Well, the biggest changes, and it's important to note that this is actually Bolivia's 17th constitution, if you can believe it. Especially as an American, it's very different from our experience with our constitution. But the biggest challenge in Bolivia has been applying the changes in each of these constitutions. In this one, the biggest changes relate to indigenous rights. Bolivia has a population of around 62%. 62% of Bolivia's population self-identify as indigenous, primarily Aymara, Quechua, and Guarani indigenous communities. And in this new constitution, this indigenous majority party is granted the right to, in some cases, exist with autonomy or organize with autonomy, so that a community, an indigenous community in Bolivia, can now self-govern itself, apply its own laws, apply its own taxing system, apply its own kind of cultural organization of the culture within the boundaries of existing Bolivian law. But this grants an increasing amount of rights to these indigenous communities, including the management of their natural resources. So if an indigenous community, whether it's, for example, say a Guarani community, is existing on top of a bunch of oil or gas, they can have access to that gas and decide how it's going to be used, exploited, exported, refined, etc. So that's one significant change. Some other ones are making it illegal and impossible for the U.S. to establish a military base in Bolivia. In Bolivia, where most U.S. foreign policy for the past 30 years has been based on the U.S.-led war on drugs, this is very significant. Some other things are, for example, establishing access to basic services such as electricity, telephones, water, establishing that as a human right that the state will uphold. This is also an incredibly groundbreaking change. Other things are establishing that indigenous languages have to be spoken in government offices. So when indigenous people who don't speak Spanish, for example, show up to an office, they can communicate with the representatives, with their politicians. So those are some of the key changes in the new constitution.
What about land ownership? Because in many countries around the world, obviously, that's been highly concentrated in few hands, and access to land and ownership of land is restricted for huge numbers of rural people in particular. Was there something that was related to that dimension of reality in Bolivia?
Right. In Bolivia, like so many other countries in Latin America, land ownership is concentrated in the hands of just a few people, just a few families here in Bolivia. And this is one of the areas that a lot of the, that probably some of the most criticism kind of surrounds. What happened was, with the land reform in this new constitution, it didn't say that previously owned land will be touched, so that land reform won't be enacted retroactively. So existing enormous land estates won't be redistributed, unfortunately. So that's kind of a major setback for many campesinos, many farmers, and landless farmers in the country. What did happen was a limit on future land purchases, limiting it to 5,000 hectares. I'm not sure how many acres that is, but it's a limit, and it limits the purchase in the future. However, this is just it's still an enormously big amount of land, so it's not going to prevent the establishment of latifundios or land holdings up to that are up to 5,000 hectares. So it's a pretty big setback. It's one of the things that Morales, I think, gave to the right wing, one of the concessions that Morales and the MAS gave to the right wing. And I think it will, in some ways, prevent maybe ongoing social tensions between the right and the left and the east and the west in Bolivia, but it certainly won't resolve the historically unequal distribution of land in the country significantly.
After the constitution was improved and approved in the referendum and formally declared enacted, that the government of Evo Morales nationalized one of the oil businesses in Bolivia. And that, does that mean, you were speaking of indigenous people having rights to the use of natural resources on their lands? How does that relate to what the central government did?
Well, just like the convening of an assembly to rewrite the country's constitution, the nationalization of the gas has also been a major demand from social movements for the past 20 years and more. So when Morales was running for president in 2005, some of his main campaign platforms were nationalization of gas and oil and rewriting the new constitution. So in 2006, in May of 2006, Morales first nationalized some of the biggest oil and gas reserves in Bolivia. And what this nationalization is, and just like, and the same goes with the nationalization that you mentioned that just happened a couple weeks ago, it isn't an outright expropriation of foreign companies' assets or their industries or factories, refineries, or anything. It's more of a new kind of collaboration between the state and foreign companies and private companies. Each nationalization is different, depending on which oil reserve or gas reserve it is. But in most cases, and generally speaking, it involves a broader participation of the state, and it means that the state is going to be receiving more money from this industry rather than what has been the standard throughout most of Bolivian history, where foreign companies come in, make all the money off these resources while the Bolivian state remains impoverished. So in this recent nationalization that Morales announced right before the passage of the Constitution, it was it took place by through the Bolivian state purchasing the company outright for a significant amount of money. I don't know how much, but it's understood that that money will be made back pretty quickly for the Bolivian government. And so this is separate, this kind of nationalization is separate from the autonomy that indigenous communities will have over their natural resources. But it's part of an ongoing series of nationalizations and broader involvement of the state in the Bolivian economy that will probably continue throughout this coming year. Telecommunications companies have been nationalized, for example, and various gas and oil companies have also been nationalized.
To close, maybe a more speculative look to the future, the U.S. strategy up till now has been to try and fragment Bolivia regionally as a way of undercutting and destroying the program and project of the social movements and Evo Morales. And Morales, on his part, has worked to keep the country united. What impact do you think the adoption of this constitution has on the U.S. Strategy? Is it a setback for that, or is it something they can still continue to work to undercut?
Well, I think that the new constitution won't necessarily help resolve some of the regional tensions in the country or the ethnic or class tensions in the country. If anything, it'll kind of push that tension more to the surface so that they can hopefully be addressed in the long run. And I think that that's part of the kind of class conflict that the MAS is bringing on, in a way, to finally address some of these racial and class divisions that have been ripping Bolivia apart for centuries now. So I think that it's a very kind of confrontational and problematic and sometimes violent process, but I think that it's something that inevitably has to be faced, and I think that the MAS is helping bring that kind of realization and reconciliation about. So the U.S. intervention in the country, I think, is definitely going to be limited and is right now limited in the sense that the U.S. ambassador was kicked out of Bolivia last September. USAID, a development organization from the U.S. government, is also, their operations have been significantly limited based on some investigations and some reports that the Morales administration has put forth and come about. So there's more realization of how the U.S. government was intervening in Bolivia. And with that known, and with the U.S. ambassador kicked out, I think it'll be very hard for the U.S. to come back to Bolivia with a new ambassador and start up a whole new series of interventions in the same way that they've been doing before. So there's a lot of hope right now here in Bolivia that relations will improve drastically under an Obama administration. And I think that with the passage of the new constitution, it sets in stone a lot of the policies that the MAS has been pushing for national sovereignty, particularly around control of natural resources. And I think that it will be harder to weaken the MAS government because of the new constitution. It'll be harder to weaken the government. It'll be harder for the U.S. government to weaken the MAS government. So I think that that's hopeful in the long run. And again, people in the government here are looking optimistically to the Obama administration to start a clean slate and clean up a lot of the mess of the Bush's diplomacy over the last 8 years.
Well, on that optimistic note, we'll happily close. Thank you very much for joining us, Ben.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Ben Dongle. He's a journalist reporting on Latin America. He's author of the book, The Price of Fire, Resource Wars and Social Movements in Bolivia. It's published by AK Press. And for articles by Ben, you can go to our website, cooperadio.org/redeye, and you'll find links to websites where his work is present.